Oh, that if he has a tantrum and says something offensive, my demon's going to want to shove my stiletto blade right up his rectum. Knox licked his teeth.
My demon will want to do worse.
The entity already despised Lucien for his neglect of Harper. Which means the whole thing has the makings of a clusterfuck. Harper fell quiet as she finished off her Hershey's bar and drank more of her Coke. Oh, I meant to ask before. Was Dario at the meeting?
Yes. He seemed angry that you were hurt and wants to be sure that whoever's behind the attacks will soon be dead.
Aw, that's sweet.
I asked him if Nora had any warnings to deliver.
She said that when it's time to kill the child, we shouldn't hesitate.
For a moment, I thought she meant our child, but I think she meant Macaulay.
Frowning, Harper swallowed. The kid creeps me out, but I don't want to have to kill him. Just the thought made her stomach churn. Even her demon wasn't keen on the idea. Knox rubbed her thigh.
Neither do I, baby. Neither do I.
You said it was a beach hut.
It is.
Hut my ass. Knox, aside from having a thatched roof, it is nothing like a hut. The white, two-story building was more of a luxury villa. Situated on a beautiful tropical beach, it was surrounded by tall palm trees and white sand. The sun glittered off the rippling turquoise-blue sea, and she just wanted to dive right in it. It was seriously freaking hot. It had only been a short walk from the jet to the hut, but already her skin was sticky and sweat was trickling down her back. As they'd walked along the man-made path through the jungle, she'd seen lots of colorful birds, a few snakes, and heard what she suspected were monkeys in the distance. Not a big fan of monkeys. She hoped they remained in the distance. She almost sighed in relief as the cool breeze swept over her and ruffled her shirt. Did you ever rent out the island?
No, it's mine.
He said it with such finality that she smiled. And you don't share what's yours. Knox drew her close and spoke against her mouth.
No, I definitely don't share what's mine.
Neither did his demon. He licked at her lower lip and then gave it a sharp, possessive nip.
Come on. Let's go inside so I can show you the place.
Knox first introduced her to the housekeeper and maintenance guy, both of whom were natives of a neighboring island, but also belonged to their lair. It was clear to Harper by the way they chatted to Tanner and Levi that the sentinels had accompanied Knox here plenty of times. The interior of the spacious, stylishly furnished villa was beautiful. Bright walls, gleaming floors, and high windows that took advantage of the idyllic ocean view. The bedroom was her favorite part of the villa. It had a hot tub, a canopy bed with white drapes that kept out the mosquitoes, and a gorgeous balcony that overlooked the sea. Each of the sentinels had their own room at the other side of the villa, which gave Harper and Knox plenty of privacy. She was glad of that, because she could be kind of noisy in bed, and the sentinels would no doubt immaturely tease her about it. Dressed in a neon pink bikini, she'd just finished applying sun lotion when Knox walked into the bedroom. His eyes darkened as they roamed over her, and her demon stretched languidly. Harper let her own gaze explore his powerful build, lingering a little on the growing bulge in his shorts.
I'm happy to skip the swim and take care of that, just so you know.
Knox stalked over to her and trailed his finger over the swell of her breasts, inhaling the fruity scent of her sunscreen.
Very magnanimous of you, he quipped.
I'm all heart.
He dropped to his knees and kissed her stomach.
I don't know why it turns me on, knowing that I put a baby in you. I really don't.
She swallowed. I'm not complaining, in case you were wondering. He stood, mouth curved.
Come on.
He linked his fingers with hers and led her downstairs and out onto the deck, facing the beach. Tanner and Levi were already sprawled on sun loungers, soaking up the sun. Harper almost winced at the smothering heat. That sand's gonna be hot.
Want me to carry you to the water?
Pride made her spine snap straight. I can manage. Knox's demon chuckled.
If we run, it'll hurt less.
Then we run. Ready? He nodded.
Go.
Harper took off and, God, it was like stepping on hot coals. She rushed to the shoreline and pretty much sloshed into the sea rather ungracefully. She'd braced herself for the shock of cold water, but the water was surprisingly warm as it lapped at her body. She watched as Knox dunked himself and then stood straight. Water poured off his head and slid down his body in a way that made her mouth dry up. You should do that again, and again. Chuckling, he guided her deeper into the water and pulled her against him. He kissed her gently, softly, then dunked them both, the bastard. She coughed as their heads broke the surface. You could have warned me. Knox and his demon smiled. She always made him think of a hissing, spitting kitten when she snapped at him. He smoothed his hands up her back.
Sorry, baby.
No, you're not. She saw a dark shadow under the water and almost leapt out of his arms. Jellyfish! Tightening his arms around her, Knox looked around.
There are no jellyfish.
I saw jellyfish!
There are no jellyfish. Relax, he soothed. Breathe. Take in the view.
Harper took a long breath. Under the scents of salt water and seaweed were the smells of tropical flowers, sunscreen, and the food coming from the villa. Hooking her arms around his neck, she looked around as they bobbed in the sea, water rippling around them. Waves tumbled into rocks, tossing up foamy sprays of water. There was a dock nearby where jet skis and powerboats idled. Beyond the green mountains, in the far distance, were other small islands.
Well, does it have your stamp of approval?
It does. Even though the heat of the sun pricked her skin and felt oppressive on her chest, she absolutely loved the place. But if you're hoping I'll agree to stay here for the rest of the pregnancy, you're out of your demonic mind. I don't hide.
It wouldn't be hiding.
He kissed her shoulder, fingering her bikini strap.
Stress is not good for you or the baby.
Oh, don't play the baby card with me, Thorn.
This quiet, peace, safety is what you need right now.
And staying here for a few weeks would be awesome. But I would lose my mind sitting around here for the rest of the pregnancy with nothing to do.
There's plenty to do and see here. Rivers, creeks, jungle, mountains, waterfalls, ancient ruins. You could not be bored.
He paused at the cry of a pelican that flew overhead.
Your friends and family can visit you. I'll be here.
Not all the time.
I can be, if that's what you want.
She almost snorted, but then she realized, you're serious. He sighed at her astonishment.
Harper, when are you going to realize that you're my priority? You come first to me. If you want me to take the next 12 weeks off work to be with you every moment of this pregnancy, that's what I'll do. His demon would love that anyway.
Touched, she swallowed hard.
wouldn't ask you to do that.
Being with you 24/7 would be no hardship.
Beneath the water, he traced her hip bone, knowing her little raven tattoo was right there. Being that ravens were cunning, strategic tricksters, she felt she could relate to them. Nox suspected they also made her think of her family.
I'll do whatever it takes to make sure you're happy and safe.
And I love you for that, but I still can't stay holed up here.
She smiled, adding, We can, however, relax here for a little while.
That sounds like an awesome plan to me. Besides, we have a nursery to design and baby stuff to order.
Stuff?
She shrugged.
I've never cared for a baby. I don't know a great deal about what that entails, what we'll need, or how much of it we'll need. What I currently know is courtesy of the internet.
We'll be fine. If we weren't delaying the announcement of the pregnancy, we could have hired people to prepare the nursery for us.
She welcomed the ocean breeze as it tugged at her hair, which hung in wet ropes down her back.
No, I'd rather be part of designing and readying it anyway.
All right, that's what you'll do.
He dipped his hand inside her bikini bottoms, cupping her ass.
So you're happy to stay here for a little while? How about a month?
She frowned.
A week.
That's too short.
All right, 2 weeks.
Still too short. 3 weeks. And if you do get bored, we'll leave earlier.
Fine. 3 weeks.
Good girl.
Of course, he'd do his best to convince her to stay longer. It was that fact alone that stopped his demon from sulking.
Don't think I don't know you'll try and talk me into stay-
Jellyfish!
She pretty much tried to climb up his body, not appreciating his chuckles at all.
There are no jellyfish.
I saw one!
But the bastard didn't stop chuckling. Instead, he pulled her deeper into the sea. They stayed there for a little while, just talking and enjoying the uninterrupted time.
You know, I could really do with an ice cream right now.
Ice cream? I think I can make that happen.
He scooped her up, shocking a little squeal out of her, and traced their footprints in the hot sand as he headed to the villa. Once on the deck, he gently put her on her feet.
Shower first.
Good idea.
Although she hadn't lain on the beach, the sand had somehow found its way inside her bikini and was chafing her skin. Inside the villa, he took her straight to the bathroom attached to their bedroom. Without removing their swimsuits, he backed her into the walk-in shower and then turned on the spray. Harper hissed through her teeth. The hot water stung her skin, which was sensitive from the sun, but the discomfort quickly faded. And then Nox was kissing her. His mouth was hot and greedy, and it totally swept her away.
So many times a day I look at this mouth and think about what it feels like wrapped around my cock. Heaven. Fucking heaven.
Nox tugged down her bikini strap, letting it sweep over her shoulder. He licked over the cluster of freckles there, then bit hard.
Mine.
He stripped off their swimsuits and squirted soap onto his hands. As she shampooed her hair, he soaped her down, tracing her, shaping her, teasing her, until the smell of salt was gone and there was only coconut soap and Harper's honeyed scent. She gave as good as she got, her touch sexual as she ran her hands all over him, lathering him with gel. Finally, he pulled her fully under the spray, rinsing off shampoo, soap, and sand. As the water poured down on them, he kissed her again, licking and biting.
I fucking love your mouth.
He bit the fleshy part of her lower lip,
and I love fucking it.
She narrowed her eyes, and he knew why. The idea of kneeling on the tiled floor didn't hold a lot of appeal. Still, he knew she'd do it if he asked. It was a total fucking turn-on to know that she'd do whatever he asked. She wouldn't do it easily or meekly, which made it hotter. But she'd do it. He knew exactly what he wanted right then. But it wasn't his cock in her mouth. It happened so quickly that Harper found herself blinking rapidly. One minute she'd been pliant against him. The next thing, her back was against the tiled wall, and one psychic hand was pinning both of hers above her head.
What are you doing?
Knox fisted his cock.
Watching.
Harper gasped as an ice-cold psychic finger slipped inside her. It didn't matter that she'd been ready for the heat that flared. It still zapped every one of her senses as her pussy began to blaze.
I'm already wet.
I know that, but I want you even more wet. And I want to stand here and watch while I play with you until you're so wet you're dripping. You want me to have that, don't you? You want to give me what I want.
Her mouth quirked.
It's in my best interests.
He smiled.
It is.
He cupped her breasts, molding them. They'd grown bigger, fuller. As he used a psychic finger to fuck her pussy, he tugged, twisted, and plucked at her nipples. He swooped down and sucked the unpierced one into his mouth, flicking it with his tongue. She moaned his name, a feminine demand.
What do you want, Harper?
Her chin lifted.
I'm not going to beg.
You don't need to beg, he said softly. I'll give you whatever you want.
He tugged on her piercing.
But you have to tell me what it is.
You.
He sucked at her pulse.
You have me.
In me.
She ground out.
I am in you.
He gave her a particularly hard thrust with his psychic finger. Her demon hissed, irritated by his teasing.
Your cock, Harper clipped. I want your cock in me.
Keeping her hands pinned above her head with one psychic hand, Knox hooked her legs over the crooks of his elbows.
Then you'll have it.
He thrust into her, and her scorching hot pussy clamped and rippled around him. She was coming, he realized, and the, oh shit, look in her eyes meant that she was expecting punishment for not having permission.
It's okay. You can come.
It was a really good thing he thought so, because there wasn't a chance Harper could have held back that orgasm. The moment his long, thick cock had stretched and filled her oversensitive walls in one smooth, possessive stroke, sheer bliss had washed over her. She slumped against the wall, eyes falling closed, as her strength seemed to drain out of her.
Look at me,
he rumbled. She opened her eyes to find him staring at her with that very familiar, savage possessiveness. Her pussy clenched, and he gritted his teeth. Knox slowly pulled back. Frowning, she tried curling her legs around him to keep him with her, but he held them tight.
Don't worry, baby. I'm not going anywhere,
he said softly, silkily.
I'm nowhere near finished with you.
Jaw clenched, Knox mercilessly slammed into her over and over, knowing she could take it. He'd angled her hips so that his cock brushed her clit with every brutal thrust. And he knew from many, many past experiences that her body wouldn't hold out long against that. Already her pussy was becoming tighter and hotter. Possessiveness spurred him on, keeping him driving deep and hard. His demon wanted to crawl inside her until she'd never be free of him.
It won't matter how many times I have you, Knox growled. I'll always want more of this pussy. My pussy.
She flexed her hand, wanting to be free to touch him, to scratch him, to pull at his hair.
Let me go.
He shook his head, and her demon reached for the surface and glared at him.
Release me, it ordered.
But he didn't, and Harper resurfaced with a snarl. The air chilled a little as his eyes bled to black, and the hairs on her nape stood on end as she looked at this demon.
Let me go!
No,
it told her in that disembodied voice.
You'll take what you're given.
It mercilessly powered into her at a frenzied pace. Where Nox always clung to his control, the demon didn't. Each slam of his cock was rough and territorial. Nox resurfaced, and the pace and force of the thrusts eased just a little. But then the demon was back, and once again it was feverishly slamming into her. They repeatedly switched, each tormenting her with their own personal brand of fucking.
Not gonna last,
she warned then. With a growl, Nox leapt to the surface.
You'll last because I want you to last.
He thrust harder, literally driving his point home. Violet eyes glared at him, calling him a bastard.
You like it when I don't give you what you want. You like it when I just take what I want, like you're my little toy.
Fuck if he wasn't right, the asshole. It probably made her a little weird, but Harper had made her peace with that. She was about to demand that he just make her come, for God's sake. But then she felt it starting to happen again, out of fucking nowhere. And since she hadn't waited for permission, there was a good chance she'd pay for that.
Don't stop.
He was sadistic enough to do it, but his eyes softened.
I won't stop, baby.
Nox fucked her harder, faster, driving as deep as he could go.
Make me come, Harper.
Her pussy clamped down on him, as her eyes went blind and she choked out his name, and Nox came so fucking hard it almost blew the head off his cock. It went on and on and on, so intense that it should have hurt.
Shuddering, he slumped against her, breathing hard. Let's get you cleaned up, so I can get you that ice cream you want.
I'm down with that, she slurred.
Floating on her post-orgasm cloud, Harper was barely aware of him turning off the shower, grabbing towels, and carrying her into the bedroom. It wasn't until he set her on her feet and began drying her off that she partially snapped out of her buzz. She tried to take over.
I can do it.
I know you can do it.
But he kept on patting her dry, and she made no more protests.
You know, you really should...
Harper froze, as a mind slid against hers.
Unfamiliar.
Small. Young. She gasped in wonder, gripping his arms.
Nox! I just felt the baby's mind. It was the tiniest touch, but it was there.
He stroked his hand over the small bump as he reached out with his mind, searching for another. And there it was. He gently touched it, felt an answering flutter.
Did you feel it?
He nodded, chest squeezing.
It has a vibe of contentment.
Nox rested his forehead against hers.
I watched the scan, and I've felt the baby move countless times, but touching the baby's mind, feeling it respond, that's something else altogether.
She smiled knowingly.
And your protective levels just went up another notch, huh?
They did. Nox curled his arms around her. I'll do everything I can to make sure that the baby stays content. I'm wondering if maybe all those endorphins rushing through you have mellowed it out. If so, it might be a sound idea to just spend the next 12 weeks fucking the hell out of you.
You'll do that anyway. Her stomach clenched as he gave her that lopsided smile that did interesting things to her body.
You're right. I will.
Chapter 14. At the knock on the door, Nox called.
Come in.
He looked up from the multiple computer monitors on his desk as Keenan strolled into his home office. The incubus flicked a brief, admiring glance at the three abstract art canvases of mechanical clockwork on the gray wall.
How was your vacation? Good. Harper needed it.
She'd also enjoyed it enough to stay the full 3 weeks, and had agreed to return there at some point. First, she naturally wanted to be sure that everything was ready for the baby. Keenan nodded.
I just caught her on the way upstairs. She seemed happy, relaxed. Looks like the break did her good.
His brows lowered. She was eating a raw carrot. Nox rubbed his nape.
Yeah, she's had a few cravings lately, mostly ice cream and raw carrots. I'm just hoping she won't start wanting to eat them both at once.
The sentinel shuddered at the idea.
Her stomach is more rounded. Amazing what a difference 3 weeks can make. Rogers warned us that things would move pretty fast after she reached week 18.
She was now 21 weeks pregnant, and there was no way to hide it.
She let me feel the baby kick.
Keenan grinned.
That kid's feisty.
Nox smiled in agreement.
Just like its mother.
Keenan chuckled.
Yep. I'll bet you'll panic if it's a girl.
Probably.
Nox placed his hands on the desk.
Moving on to the reason I called you here, what did you find out about Jonas's girlfriend?
Her name is Casey Willard. She's from his lair. She lives with a roommate. She works as a model.
And she's missing.
Missing?
She hasn't been seen by anyone since the night after the boardroom meeting.
Nox swore.
It could be that someone told her you suspect that she may have done some dirty magical work for Jonas, so she's lying low for a while. Who could blame her? But it could also be that someone disposed of her. I have members of the Force searching for her as we speak.
Nox nodded in approval.
Anything else I should know?
Everything's been pretty quiet. No disturbances within the lair. The studio hasn't had any problems. Macaulay has met with his grandparents 3 times since you left. He was his usual, cold self, but they apparently didn't seem put off by it. They also haven't pressured Linda and Wyatt to give him up. In fact, according to Wyatt, they've been very cooperative and civil.
Good. Keep me updated on the Casey Willard situation.
Will do.
With that, Keenan left. Nox made a few calls and answered a few emails, catching up on some of the work he'd missed. Guessing that Harper was in the nursery, he rounded the U-shaped executive desk and left the office to seek her out. Hearing a noise downstairs, he followed it to the kitchen. But it wasn't Harper he found sitting on a breakfast stool, drinking one of her strawberry smoothies while candy wrappers and empty chips packets littered the breakfast bar. Nox sighed.
Lou, what are you doing here?
The devil shrugged.
I was thirsty and a little peckish. Yes, I remember we had a chat about you not liking me just showing up, eating your food and stuff. Well, You chatted, looking at me with cruel intent. I think it was cruel intent. Could have been a promise of death. Maybe both. Although I would consider both at one time to be an excessive reaction. He peeked around Nox's body. Where's your mate? I was about to go find her and... Wait. Are you stoned?
No, of course not. Really? You can trust me. Drug users always tell the truth.
Nox just sighed. He wasn't sure what exactly humans expected the devil to look like, but Nox suspected that it wasn't the version in front of him. Lou was wearing a baseball cap, scruffy jeans, sneakers, and a t-shirt that featured a picture of Inigo Montoya from The Princess Bride. Nox didn't know why, and he wasn't about to ask. Lou was also wearing a denim jacket that had pink sequins stitched onto it. Harper liked to personalize her clothes by sewing diamonds, lace, and other appliques on them. She would also vengefully do it to your clothes if you pissed her off. When Lou had asked her to jazz up his jacket, she'd hoped the pink sequins would annoy him. Nope. The crazy bastard liked them. Nox would bet that most humans would be surprised to find that Lucifer was not actually the ruler of hell. Lou moved there and brought order to it after having some sort of dispute with God. He wasn't a one-dimensional, malevolent being, either. Harper had once described him as a psychopathic child with bipolar and OCD. That about summed him up. Lou didn't ask much of people. But he did have three laws. One, demons needed to conceal their existence from humans. Two, they must not be caught breaking human laws. Three, they must never cause harm to a child, human or demon.
You have a nice tan going on. I hope you spent your vacation trying to get our Harper pregnant.
Nox rubbed his forehead.
This again?
Why wait? It's a logical step to make in a committed relationship.
Lou narrowed his eyes.
You are committed to her, right?
Of course I am. Now, why are you here?
Hearing footsteps, Nox turned to watch as Harper walked into the room. Lou took one look at her round stomach and grinned like a loon.
Well, would you look at that?
He stood.
We're gonna have a baby! Score!
He patted Nox's back.
I knew you'd come through in the end.
Crossing to Harper, he bent down.
Well, hello there, baby Lou. Don't say it, she snapped.
You haven't yet told me why you're here, said Nox.
Lou looked affronted.
Do I need a reason to visit my friends?
Nox shot an impatient look at the most antisocial being he'd ever known.
You don't consider us your friends. You don't want friends.
I told you, I'm branching out from cold and pure evil.
He turned back to Harper, smiling.
How far pregnant are you?
21 weeks. His excitement was quickly replaced by irritation.
You have 9 weeks left? And you're only telling me this now?
She pursed her lips.
Well, yes. But you're still one of the first to know.
And now, mercurial as ever, Lou was once again delighted.
How have you been?
Cravings, backache, nausea, mood swings? I've heard that 80% of pregnant women have seriously bad mood swings, like scary bad. I am not having mood swings. Nox folded his arms.
While you're here, Lou, answer me a question. Why do you think Jonas wanted to meet with you?
No idea, said Lou, retaking his seat.
You're not even curious?
Nope.
Lou drank some of his smoothie. Earth business does not interest me.
Yeah, Nox knew that, but still.
We need to know what Jonas wants from you. Talk to him. Find out.
I can't. See, I have this thing. I don't do things that bore me.
Lou set down his glass.
Deals are boring. Jonas wants to offer me a deal. Ergo,
Nox ground his teeth.
Lou,
I don't concern myself with what goes on between the primes. It's all mind-numbingly dull. Now, a baby who could single-handedly lay waste to the universe, on the other hand, has me fascinated.
Harper's mouth tightened.
He or she will not lay waste to anything, nor will you attempt to teach them to do so.
We're keeping the pregnancy quiet for now, Lou.
Nox told him.
You need to do the same.
Lou lifted his hand as if to pledge an oath.
You can be sure that I will do nothing to threaten the upcoming birth of our little We are not calling the baby Lucifer,
growled Harper, fists clenched. Lou leaned toward Nox and said quietly,
Notice the mood swing? The stats don't lie.
Harper let out a long breath.
Why are you even here?
Lou lifted a brow.
Expecting someone else?
Preferably someone who doesn't come uninvited, rifle through our kitchen, and help themselves to stuff. It's like having a stray dog turn up all the time.
Lou sniffed at her.
That's unfair. I don't shit on your floor.
It's important that we find out what Jonas wants from you,
Nox interrupted.
It could be related to the attack on Harper.
Straightening in his seat, Lou frowned.
What attack?
Someone hired hunters to steal her wings.
His eyes widened.
Get out of town! Really? Someone out there is honestly that stupid?
He pouted as he looked at Harper's stomach.
Poor baby must have been in such distress.
I'm fine, in case you were wondering, she said dryly.
I don't need to wonder. I can see that you're fine.
Lou turned to Nox.
What I don't see is how the attack could have had anything to do with Jonas.
It's highly unlikely that he knows she has wings. Nox narrowed his eyes.
How do you know?
I know lots of things.
Lou poked his temple.
I'm a well of information.
Knowing from past experience how tight-lipped the devil could be, Nox didn't bother pushing for an answer.
Jonas is upset with Jolene right now. The person who sent the hunters after Harper also hired someone to kidnap Harper's cousin.
Lou's mouth fell open.
Risking Jolene's wrath? Oh, well, then, they really are stupid. Or suicidal.
Both works.
That woman is mean. Giving me packets of chips that open upside down and putting her TV volume on an uneven number just to see me cry? How can someone be that cruel?
Yeah, her grandmother really did love to poke at his OCD streak. Still, Harper frowned.
Do you really feel that you, the devil, are in a position to judge people?
You know what? Don't answer that. Look, I get that helping people isn't really your thing, but if Jonas wants to make a deal with you, it can't be good. Even if he has nothing to do with the attack on me or the attempt to kidnap my cousin, it's still important to know what he wants. It could be something really bad. You could stop it from happening.
Head tilted, Lou looked at her curiously. Are you trying to appeal to my conscience?
He snorted.
That inner voice gave up on me a long time ago. Honestly, Trying to make me feel bad is more pointless than the A and okay. If self-centeredness could bounce, I'd be in orbit. And wouldn't that be fun?
Harper sighed. At least you're honest about it.
My shrink says I shouldn't hold things in or pretend to be what I'm not. He says I should just be myself.
Yeah, that was bad advice.
And yet, I have a fan club, Lou said smugly.
Several.
You mean you have satanic cults that worship you?
Yeah, he muttered, seemingly unimpressed by them.
Most of the weirdos are like diapers, self-absorbed, full of shit, and need to be disposed of. But I do appreciate that they use symmetrical symbols.
Not crazy about their obsession with 666, though.
The number 6 is founded on odd numbers. My favorite number is 8, perfectly symmetrical. They should try 888.
The guy truly was out of his mind. Harper simply said, "Well, if I meet any satanic people, I'll let them know."
"That's sweet of you."
His head tilted and his gaze turned inward.
"I'm needed elsewhere. Must go. Harper, you take care of our little munchkin. Knox, no. Before you ask again, I'm not meeting with Jonas. Even if I tried to help, I'd somehow make it all worse. Tell me I'm wrong. Besides, you don't need my help. You have this. You can manage just fine."
He saluted Knox.
"Carpe diem!"
And then, in a blink, he was gone. Harper exhaled heavily.
Was it just me, or was he stoned?
He was stoned.
Knox frowned at the candy wrappers and empty chips packet on the table.
"I think he had a case of the munchies."
Knox crossed to her and softly stroked her stomach.
"I was looking for you when I heard him down here."
"I was looking for you, too. I want your advice on something." She led him up the stairs and into the bedroom next to theirs, which she'd decided would be the nursery. She gestured to the wall, where she'd brushed 3 different stripes of paint along the white wall.
"Which shade do you prefer?"
She'd ordered 3 samples online and had been delighted to get back from the island and find them waiting. Knox looked around the spacious room.
"You cleared this room out all by yourself?"
"Hell no. I roped Tanner and Levi into helping me."
"I'm assuming you're going to elect them to paint the walls, too."
"They agreed to help me with the painting." The word "help" had him frowning.
"I'm not sure if I like the idea of you."
"I'll be painting walls, not knocking them down," she said as patiently as possible, reminding herself just how hard it was for him while his protective instincts were riding him hard. "I promise you that if at any point I need to rest, I will stop. For the baby's sake, if nothing else. Trust me."
"I do trust you,"
he stated firmly, needing her to know that it was true.
"You're the only person that I trust."
His demon also trusted her, and that was a major thing. She smiled.
"Good. Now, which color do you prefer?" He pointed to the soft yellow strip of paint.
"That one."
She smiled.
"Me too. Great minds think alike."
"Hey, Roger should be here in half an hour."
"I know. Why do you look so nervous? I thought you'd be excited to have another scan."
"I am. I'm just worried he'll tell me that the baby's still smaller than it should be."
He stroked her upper arms.
"I'm sure everything will be fine."
"I hope you're right."
A short while later, the doctor was setting up his portable ultrasound machine in their living room again.
"Nice tan. I heard you went on vacation. Lucky you. Tell me, Harper, how have you been?"
Sitting on the sofa, she replied,
"Fine. I don't feel drained anymore. I'm eating fine, having a couple of cravings, but nothing weird.
Any back pain yet? He asked.
She jiggled her head. A little. It's not so bad.
Sadly, it will get worse. What about the baby?
It's hyper. Never seems to sleep. We feel its mind sometimes.
His brows lifted.
Really?
He asked, seeming impressed.
It reaches out by itself, said Knox. It first happened 3 weeks ago.
Interesting, Rogers drawled.
Lie back. Let's take a look at the baby.
Like last time, Harper lay back as he moved a handheld probe around her gel-covered lower abdomen. The baby didn't seem to like it any more than she did, because it kept kicking at the probe. Rogers chuckled.
It doesn't like me poking and prodding, does it?
Knox watched the screen, fascinated as the baby wriggled around. It was bigger, and its features were more distinct. It now looked like an actual baby, as opposed to a peanut with a head.
Well?
Knox asked the doctor.
Is everything okay?
Everything seems absolutely fine, replied Rogers. The baby is still a little small, but it's clearly not behind in its development. Babies don't usually psychically reach out until the 23rd week.
Knox stroked a hand over Harper's hair.
Why do you think it's still smaller than it should be?
The doctor pursed his lips.
It could be due to any number of things. The baby isn't small enough for me to be worried. Its size is just something we need to monitor. Now, I'd like to do a few tests.
He held out a little tub to Harper and smiled.
Pee for me.
Harper reached out to grab the tub, but then she froze as Knox's face hardened. She could feel the echo of a telepathic conversation, knew he was speaking with someone. When he finally met her eyes, and she saw the anger there, she said,
I'm not gonna like this, am I?
It's Pamela and Rupert.
Talia's parents.
He nodded.
They're dead.
Knox blinked.
Stabbed to death?
Several times, said Keenan.
He gestured at the uniformed officers that were urging the growing crowd to step away from the crime scene tape as he added,
The cops might have thought that it was Talia's dealer, looking for her parents to pay whatever she died owing him. But he has an airtight alibi.
He's dead, too.
When did that happen? Asked Knox.
Last week.
It was a gang territorial dispute that went too far.
Keenan paused.
I know you probably suspect the kid has something to do with the attack on Pamela and Rupert, but it was pretty vicious, Knox. It would have taken someone with more strength to have made the knife penetrate so deeply. I don't think it's something a kid could have done.
It can't be a coincidence that Talia's parents were killed.
Knox glanced at the house, where a continuing flow of people were passing in and out. Some were clearly forensic analysts, while others were likely police officers.
How many times were they stabbed?
Both were stabbed in the chest 6 times.
And Macaulay's 6 years old.
Knox could imagine what Harper would make of that. He'd left her at the mansion, where the doctor could finish running his tests. As they hadn't yet announced the pregnancy, she'd needed to stay home.
The last place he'd want her to be was a crime scene, anyway. I agree that it seems like the kid is somehow connected to this, but I truly don't think that he has the strength it would have taken to subdue them and cause such injuries.
Who else would have a motive to do this?
Keenan shrugged.
The cops have finished speaking with their son. He's over there, if you'd like to talk to him. Maybe he knows something.
Knox hadn't realized that Daniel was in Vegas. The demon had long ago moved away, though he remained part of their lair.
All right, let's see what he has to say.
Nox walked through the throngs of uniforms and ducked under the tape. No one tried to stop him, not even the humans. Nox had found that if you appeared to know exactly where you were going, people were very unlikely to bother you. Nox crossed to the tall demon staring at his parents' home and greeted simply,
"Daniel."
The male slowly turned, eyes tormented.
"Mr. Thorne, it's been a while."
He exchanged a nod with Keenan.
"I know it seems like an almost mechanical statement, given how often it's used in these circumstances," began Nox. "But I'm sorry for your loss."
Daniel nodded.
"Thanks. How long have you been in Vegas?"
Pain flashed in his eyes.
"I came here for Talia's funeral and decided to stay a while."
Nox inwardly winced. The guy hadn't just lost his parents. He'd lost his sister, and all in the space of a few months.
"Where were you when this attack occurred?"
Daniel adjusted his glasses.
"My hotel." "You haven't been staying with your parents?" "I loved them, but living under the same roof as them never worked for me. My mom and I argued a lot. You might as well know that we argued the last time we talked. The neighbors heard it, so they'll tell you anyway. And I know how that looks, but I didn't kill them."
Nox doubted that he had, but he kept his expression blank.
"What were you arguing about?" "They wanted to take Talia's kid and adopt him. I didn't think they should."
That sure surprised Nox.
"Why not?"
Daniel seemed to choose his words carefully.
"They weren't good at parenting. They weren't abusive or anything," he hurried to add. "They loved us, but they didn't discipline us or support us. They let us go our own way."
A little like Lucian had done with Harper, Nox mused.
"Maybe they thought it would be good for us, or maybe they were just too lazy to be bothered guiding us because they had such busy social lives. I don't know. Talia went through the typical teenage rebellion, but it's hard to rebel against people who don't care if you do it. She kept pushing them, wanting a reaction. All she did was mess up her life." "Whereas you cut your losses and moved on."
Daniel shrugged. "Yeah, I guess you could put it that way.
Look, I didn't want the kid to go down Talia's road. He's been through enough, considering what his human mother did. So I told them they should just let him stay with Linda and Wyatt. Besides, if my parents had really wanted him, they'd have taken him when he was a baby."
For a moment, Nox said nothing.
"They knew about him?"
Daniel seemed surprised by the question.
"Oh, yeah. My mother was there for his birth. She pressured Talia to switch him for a human baby. It didn't take much pressure, but it was still a shitty thing to do."
Nox exchanged a look with Keenan.
"Why do you think they wanted him now, Daniel?" "Because they were all about appearances. It would have looked bad to others if they hadn't tried to take him in. They wouldn't have wanted a black mark from society."
Nox could easily believe that.
"Is there anyone who may be upset with your parents?" "Linda Sanders, but I don't believe she did it. Linda came to the house, trying to pay my parents to back off and let her keep Macaulay. They refused, but it didn't lead to a major row or anything."
Frowning, Keenan spoke.
"I was under the impression that things were going well."
"They were," said Daniel. "Everybody seemed to be working together for Macaulay's sake. But then Linda came here Thursday night and declared that she and Wyatt were taking Macaulay away for the weekend to Florida, so my parents would have to miss their scheduled visit with him. My mother said she'd never begrudge Macaulay a trip, but that she didn't appreciate Linda giving them such short notice. Linda seemed disappointed by the response, as if she'd hoped to draw my mother into an argument. Pamela Winters wasn't a woman who was easily riled.
"When did Linda offer her money?" asked Knox.
"As she was leaving. She was almost at the front door. And then she just turned and said she'd give Pamela 40 grand if she'd agree to stay away from him."
Keenan whistled. Linda meant business.
My mother was pissed, but she didn't raise her voice. She just turned down Linda's offer and ordered her to leave. Linda apologized for offending her, said she just wanted what was best for Macaulay, and then she left.
He paused.
Like I said, I don't think Linda hurt them. My mom was a judge, and she got a lot of hate mail. It was probably someone who was either pissed at her for sentencing someone they loved, or it was someone who wanted revenge because she sent them to prison.
After a moment, Knox nodded.
Thank you for answering our questions. If you need anything, let me know. Take care, Daniel.
He's right, you know, said Keenan as they walked back to the Bentley, where Levi waited. The attack was most likely related to one of Pamela's cases.
Most likely, agreed Knox.
It made the most sense, after all, but he couldn't bring himself to fully believe it.
Let's get back to my mate.
Back at the mansion, Knox found her in the living room, watching some kind of quiz show. She slowly stood and walked straight to him. He curled his arms around her.
Before I answer your questions, what did the doctor say?
He did the tests, she said. Everything came back normal.
Now, what happened? Harper's eyes widened as he told her about the murders.
Hell. Do you think it could have been Macaulay?
Knox grimaced. I'm not sure it's something he could have physically done.
He could have enhanced strength, like my cousin. Or he could have somehow mind-fucked someone into doing it for him. It seems weird that he would, though. I mean, Keenan told you earlier that his visits with Pamela and Rupert had gone just fine. I suppose the demon could have still been pissed at them for not taking Macaulay in as a baby. It's not their fault that they hadn't known about him. But our inner demons often see things in black and white.
Knox rubbed her back.
It turns out that they did know about him.
He relayed his conversation with Daniel.
Well, shit!
That's definitely a reason for Macaulay and his demon to be pissed at them. Are you going to at least talk to him about it?
Yes, but he's in Florida right now. Linda and Wyatt took him there for the weekend. That means I can't talk to any of them face to face until Sunday.
Someone will notify them about the deaths, so we can't monitor how they react to the news, she pointed out.
Knox arched a brow. We?
Yes, we, she insisted. By Sunday, we'll have announced the pregnancy, so it won't be a problem if they see me. They won't be there for the announcement, but they'll still hear about it from someone.
She propped her chin on his chest.
We can't keep it a secret any longer, Knox.
He brushed his nose against hers.
We could if I just hid you here, he joked.
Well, it wasn't entirely a joke.
Harper rolled her eyes.
Have you thought about where you'll make the announcement and how you'll go about it?
Yes. This is what I was thinking.
Chapter 15. Beneath the sounds of people talking and laughing was the hum of the ceiling fans and the clinking of flutes. Harper peeked through the black curtain to take a good, long look at the ballroom.
There's a whole lot of people out there, Tanner.
Not the entire lair, which was unsurprising. Their lair was particularly large,
so many families often sent one or two of their own to represent the family and hear whatever announcement was made. It meant that the events weren't too hectic and crowded, which worked out best for everyone.
"You don't need to be nervous,"
Tanner assured her, like for the 10th time.
"The lair won't respond badly to the pregnancy."
Harper turned back to him, hiding once more behind the curtain on the small dais.
"Probably not, but I'll have to, you know, talk to people. Mingle."
Harper was dreading it. She simply didn't have the people skills required for it. Luckily, her mate did. She hadn't seen Knox since breakfast, and she knew he was currently dealing with some issues within the hotel. As hiding her rounded stomach while walking through the underground wouldn't have been the easiest thing she'd ever done, she'd had Kieran teleport her and Tanner from the mansion to the penthouse suite. There, she'd showered and changed into a long, white, chiffon dress that wasn't loose-fitting, yet cleverly made her baby bump a lot less distinctive. Tanner, Keenan, and Larkin had then walked her to the dais of the ballroom. Keenan and Larkin were circling the ballroom, on guard. Everyone was ready and in place. Now, all they were waiting for was Knox to show up. The last time she'd telepathically spoken to him had been 20 minutes ago, when he'd informed her that he was heading to the penthouse to quickly shower and change. Since Knox was wicked fast at getting ready, she could only assume that he'd been waylaid by his staff yet again, or he'd be here by now.
"Where are you?"
Within moments, his mind brushed against hers.
"Dealing with a minor matter before the concierge starts to cry."
She chuckled. At Tanner's questioning look, she waved a hand and then peeked through the curtain again. People mingled as they sipped wine and nibbled on appetizers being served by waiters that circulated the room. Other guests were gathered around the tall, high tables on which bowls of pretzels and flickering candles were placed. Keenan and Larkin were patrolling the room, their eyes sharp.
"I don't see Carla, Bray, or Kellen."
"Did you expect to?"
asked Tanner.
"No."
In fact, she'd been hoping that they wouldn't attend. Maybe that was mean of her, but she simply didn't trust them not to cause a scene.
"They're leaving in 3 weeks anyway, so nothing you say tonight is anything they need to hear."
He was right, she thought, as she closed the curtain. Harper smoothed a hand down the side of her dress.
"I wish we didn't have to make a huge public announcement."
"The lair needs to know."
"Yeah, I know that.
But I would have preferred it if we didn't have to make a big thing out of it. It would have been easier to just ask you and the other sentinels to pass on the news."
"You're their prime, and there are certain expectations that come with that position. Making public announcements about key information is one of them. Celebrating important events is another."